that real good feel.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, it was great visiting with old number 73, Doug Deacon. I had some great insight into what's going on. Some tall tales about his days in training camp. Jim Donovan with Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs producing. As always today, we go to Twitter, Jason.
Yeah, at Browns underscore daily, if you have any questions for Jim or Matt. Chris Lee with an interesting question here on Twitter for you guys. What's the biggest difference between Warren Moon and today's QBs changing positions, a la Pryor, Cribs, etc.?
Okay, yeah. Warren Moon, who came from the Edmonton Eskimos out of the CFL, was one of their great players, won a ton of Grey Cups, went to the Oilers. They took his – remember, they brought his head coach with them. A guy by the name of Campbell, I think, was the head coach that went down there with him. Down to Houston when he came down there. All right, what do you think about that?
I think it's similar. I just think this deep into an NFL career is what separates this in my mind. You know, to say I've gone all in to be, you know, elite at one position in, you know, a very limited talent pool of quarterbacks, and now that you're not good enough, you're going to make that switch. I think there's a reason why we haven't seen it happen more frequently, because it's very difficult to do.
Now, these guys are not going to Canada like Warren Moon did,
right?
Like Joe Theismann did, like some others did. They're not going up to
Canada.
There's
no drop-off in talent.
No, yeah. They're going right to a different position.
And here he's going to practice against two very good corners, you know, if he's going to get first-team reps.
Right.
I want to be at training camp to watch Terrell Pryor try to get open against Joe Haden, Tremon Williams, Justin Gilbert, and Pierre Desir. If he can do that, he can make any roster in the National Football League at wide receiver.
Okay. Well, that's an endorsement on that secondary, right?
Absolutely.
100%. Absolutely. Okay.
Big physical man press corners.
Yeah.
If he can get open there, he can get open against anyone.
All right, Jason?
David S. in Portland, Oregon, actually, reaching out. We've talked a lot about DBs. What's the word on Pierre Desir?
What a good finish he had last year.
Yes. Definitely.
When he got in there last year, late in the year, he played very well. And the thing that they did, I can remember Mike Pettine talking just before training camp started, after they drafted him, that they felt that last year was like a redshirt year. You hear that in college. But it would be like a redshirt year for him. Not that they could get him on the practice squad, but because, you know, the fact of the matter is that because he played at such a smaller school and didn't go up against the talent that he was going to go up against in the NFL. I remember Mike Pettine saying, when this guy goes on the practice field with us, he's going to play against much better talent than he's ever seen in his entire football career, unlike a kid that played in a really big, illustrious college program. But I'll tell you what, I thought he was really good at the end of the year, and the thing that he has is God-given, and that's his size.
Absolutely. And what's going to be so interesting to see as you talk to Deke about position battles, you look at the cornerback room. I've just listed off Joe Haden, Tremon Williams, Justin Gilbert, Kaywan Williams, Pierre Desir. How can he get on the field? You know, there's only so many packages that defensive coordinators can create to cause matchups, to work those out in your favor before things get a little too confusing. So Pierre Desir is a guy that will make this team, I believe, because we're going to be extremely depth, and I think this is a very corner-heavy roster to play this style of defense, as you've seen in New York and Baltimore and so on and so forth. But Pierre Desir, it's going to be hard for him to get on the field, so he's going to be a special teams player that will always need to be ready.
Now, let me tell you another reason why he plays, and he's playing for a different type of situation. This guy's married and has a family, and he did so in college too. I remember I think the NFL Network or ESPN followed him through the draft process, and the day that he finally did get drafted by the Browns, it was a very emotional scene because he's supporting his family.
Absolutely.
Which is different from a lot of kids that are coming out of college and you hit them with this money and they go, wow, they go wacko with it. I mean, he's got bills to pay. He's got a family.
He definitely does. And I think if you look at this year's draft class, a lot of academic All-Americans, a lot of multi-year, All-Americans or multi-year starters, guys, Nate Orchard, a guy who's married with family as well. So guys who are in love with the game of football, who've had success and played a lot of football at the college level. The only guy, as you look at this class, that didn't play a whole lot of football as Vince Maley. But when he did, he was highly productive out there at Washington State.
Okay. Anything else, Jason?
Yeah, we've got a few more, actually. Oh, okay. Aaron tweets at the show, and an interesting question here. If Carlos Dansby should go down again, do you think we have two capable inside linebackers to step up currently on the roster? Who fills those voids if Carlos goes down again this year?
I believe it's going to be Chris Kirksey and Craig Robertson, the two guys that will most likely play next to Carlos Dansby by committee.
You know, I want to give Robertson a lot of credit because there was a lot of skepticism about him at this time last year coming into the season because the Browns felt like
tough rookie,
and
man.
A lot of people thought that they got chewed up on the inside, that DeQuell Jackson – you know, maybe was getting a little long in the tooth, and that the Browns got pushed around, basically,
yes,
in the middle of the field with their inside linebackers. And Robertson then really took the challenge last year, and he fought off people that were coming at him in training camp in the preseason, and he got into the regular season, and I thought he played really well.
He did.
And then when Dansby went down, I thought he even played better.
Right.
And I think he accepted the challenge. I admire guys like that. I really like Kirksey.
I think Kirksey's going to be a great linebacker in this league for a long time, especially once he can win that position and be featured in a defense. He's just so athletic and so very gifted in coverage. To go back to Robertson, and what I loved and appreciated about Robertson is both when he was flipping with Kirksey while Dansby was healthy and when Dansby was hurt and he was starting and playing 60, 70 reps a game, he was still actively participating on special teams, giving massive effort for this football team. And I think that is the reason why he was the Cleveland Browns Man of the Year for both his on-the-field and off-the-field work.
Okay. Jason.
Another one here. This one is from Chris L., who tweets at the show. You can tweet at us, Browns_daily. Which member of the rookie class has shocked you the most in regards to performance during minicamp and OTAs?
Tough to, you know, it's so tough during minicamp because
it's all playing tag.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, the running back. I mean, a lot of people were wowed once Duke Johnson got here, and he made a couple of plays where he really stuck his foot in the ground and boom, he went.
Yes.
Now, the thing with running backs is you don't know anything about the running game until they're running and getting hit and they're running away from guys that have pads on. But, I mean, he's very, very intriguing.
Though he was the one guy that I was going to go with. The other, just to name something different, is I was surprised by Vince Maley's size. I know he's not he's the size of Josh Gordon, doesn't run like Josh Gordon, but he's a guy that caught a lot of footballs and was very productive, as I mentioned earlier, out at Washington State, that when healthy and that hand gets fixed, he's going to be a lock to be that fifth wide receiver. You're not going to cut a rookie wide receiver in this class, especially when you haven't seen what he's done yet.
Now, will he miss time in training camp?
He may.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I think a lot of NFL coaches bring this up. When a rookie misses time in training camp, especially in those first 10 days, let's say, where you're not worrying about games.
Right.
You're just practicing.
Correct.
And that's all you're doing. And like you, and on the other side of that, what you brought up about the CBA and how they've minimized contact and how many practices you can have padded and things like that, that you never get that time back. I've heard coaches say you never get that time back, which is so great now in the NFL that the days of holdouts are over. Because I remember you'd sit and you'd watch Braylon Edwards miss the first 2 weeks of training camp, or a week, let's say, of training camp over a couple of, you know, $1 million, which in the NFL is, you know, just change. And he would never get that. You almost lose half of your rookie year.
You would.
When that happens.
Exactly.
Mingo had it happen to him. He got hurt in a preseason game. He lost the rest of the preseason. And I know his first play in the NFL regular season was a sack, but he really suffered the whole year. You play catch up.
Yeah, you do. It stunts your growth, you know, as a professional, especially within your role on that football team. And I think it's a lot of the reason why you see rookies come on, you know, and finally get that click and they come on in that second half of the year, and they're finally exposed when their bodies finally caught up to what it takes to play and perform in the National Football League.
And like, I don't know, you know, Gilbert was hurt a little bit last year in training camp and got held out of the first preseason game. And he definitely seemed to play catch up the rest of the way. So, I mean, I really hope these guys, when I mention that these guys, the draft class gets on the field and helps out and, you know, participates and plays well and contributes. I think the key thing is that training camp, that they're on the field every day 100%. and they're playing.
Yes.
Yeah, practicing.
See what you get.
Yes. Got about a half hour left in the show. We'll continue on here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Jim Donovan in for Nathan Zagura, sitting in with Matt Wilhelm today on ESPN 850 WKNR. It's the most important part that relationships will go through.